And you'll turn with me, please, to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah. He was known as the weeping prophet. The reason is because he had a burden, and he loved people, and God called him to preach, and he was put in the dungeon because he told the truth. You know, somebody handed me this about a week ago. I finally read it. It's hard to believe that this could be so. The question is, church a prayer house or Holy Ghost entertainment center? Said to attract declining members, a flamboyant gimmick ministry is growing in all branches of Christianity, especially in numerous Protestant denominations. The aberrations and excesses are not confined to offbeat evangelical sects, cults, fads, and with it movements that appeal to today's youth who are turned off by organized religion. Increasingly, they are spreading to mainland churches, including my own Episcopal denomination. Now, that's the preacher that's writing this. The sorry distortion, erosion, and lack of restraint in religion is clearly evident in electronic preachers, beer, and pretzels communions. Folks, when I get through reading this, you might ought everybody get quiet and see if we don't hear the trumpet sound. Maybe step outside a minute and see if anybody's coming down from above. It's got to be nearly over when it gets like this. The Lord will not put up with this much longer. Let me read to you. Of course, the Bible said, let everything be done decently and in order. And they're saying, we don't know what to expect. 2000, that is in 2000. Well, I expect Jesus a long time before then. One lady said, I don't intend anymore because the church has gone nuts. On TV, a Baptist minister recently played the guitar with his toes, explaining that God given him this gift, which brings me closer to young people. Drexel Hill, Pennsylvania, Methodist minister got dressed in a clown costume with a clown face to help his congregation concentrate. And similarly, mainland Ardmore, Pennsylvania, at St. George's Episcopal Church, it's now commonplace to be confronted by clowns in the service. Northern California pastor took 21 young people to a snow camp where they were baptized not with water but in the snow. Their snow-covered coffin-shaped bodies were buried after their baptism. They burst out of the snow in what their minister called a resurrection. This past Ash Wednesday, the well-known Ark Street Methodist Church in Philadelphia administered gold ashes. Reverend John Roth of Miami, Florida, used volcanic ash on the heads of his St. Thomas Lutheran Church members. He kept a coffee can of ash from his visit to Washington State. On Ash Wednesday, his people got a dusting from Mount St. Helens. In Woodbury, New Jersey, a Baptist clergyman admitted that he stood on his head for his youth during a Sunday service. Now, we'll forget old Dr. Connor. When the preachers in the class said, I'll do anything to draw a crowd. I want people to come. And said, I'll even stand on my head. Old Dr. Connor didn't have too much humor, but he said, I'd suggest you keep the light end up. In Garytown, Iowa, a Roman Catholic priest was so irritated when people left his church during communion that he had electric locks installed on the sanctuary doors, which he could operate from the altar. If individuals started to leave, he simply locked them in. One way to hold them when you can't preach. My own Episcopal Church, likewise, has exhibited some shenanigans in recent years, including joggers' masses and Saturday night church, so that Sunday can be reserved for God. At the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C., a canon attempted to hire from the Ringling Brothers Circus six clowns and a unicycle act to participate in an Easter service. Fortunately, the clowns, showing commendable reverence, declined the invitation. San Francisco, you couldn't expect much out of that. San Francisco's grace really ought to be grass cathedral. A special, if somewhat less than dignified, service was conducted for 3,000 worshipers featuring incense mingled with marijuana, acid rock music, and recordings of wolf howls. That's the reason I say it ought to be called grass instead of grace. You know, this is a strange thing. Hard to believe that this could be so. I'm going to skip this one. That's not fit to read in church. Earlier, an Episcopal convention Eucharist service, the clergy consecrated bottles of cold duck, and the congregation smoked, chatted, and joining in a snake dance while singing, "Let the Sun Shine In." Even former and new church buildings are undergoing a changing character. Neon lights, ballyhoo some churches as if they were nightclubs or bowling alleys. One more, and I'm through. In Lake Arthur, New Mexico, a woman preparing flour for her husband's tortilla reported that she saw something which looked like a face. She took the tortilla to church. The face was adjudged to be that of Jesus, and the tortilla was blessed by the priest. Nearly 8,000 people made pilgrimage to view this shrine of the divine tortilla. The writer says, "Will someone see Jesus on a McDonald's hamburger?" An ice cube floating in vodka tonic, a pancake, a pizza, or an Atlantic City roulette wheel, one wonders. Music once deemed sacred has assumed a secular note in numerous services. Some songs are indistinguishable from disco. Then you wonder, folks, it's not the president, not the government. It's a bunch of loot-legged preachers with no conviction. Let's see what Jeremiah has to say. Chapter 1, the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah lived in the day when God called people, anointed people. Verse 5, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord." Verse 10, "See, I have this day set thee over the nations, over the kingdoms, to root out, pull down, destroy, throw down, to build, and to plant." Verse 17, Thou therefore gird up thy loins, and arise, and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defensed city, iron pillar, brazen walls, against the whole land. Now notice who he's against. Against the kings of Judah, that's government. Against the princes, against the priests, against the people. Now that is what gives a prophet a bad reputation. For he's against everything. He's against the government. Well, if the government's wrong, sure. I don't know anybody could be for the government we got going today. We may have a little improvement. All we got to do, dear friend, is just cut off the salary from the hirelings. I'm going to share something with you. What do Frank Thompson, John Murphy, John Jenrette, and Charles Diggs have in common? They all have served as members of Congress. In addition, they all have been convicted on charges ranging from bribery to taking payroll kickbacks. No matter. They will find their private lives enriched by federal pensions to which they remain entitled regardless of their convictions. For instance, Thompson, found guilty on bribery charges in connection with Abscam, will receive a federal pension of more than $48,500. Murphy, convicted of Abscam-related charges, will get a pension of more than $42,000. Every one of them is going to get the pension. You know where the pensions come from? Right out of your tax bucket. And then you think I'll be for government like that? That's rotten as hell itself. We need some prophets that'll stand against things like that. And so he said, I've made you a defensive city. I've made you an iron pillar. I've made you a brazen wall against the whole land, against the kings, against the princes, against the priests, against the people. Verse 19, how true. They shall fight against thee, but amen, I like the rest of it. They shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. Now you ask me a question. We've been in the fight. Do you expect to prevail against them? I really do. The very fact that we're here tonight means we've prevailed against them. They've tried to stop us every way on earth. There's no way for them to stop God's work. The least of my worries, seeing these homes closed again. Now then, skip with me, please, to another chapter. Now, I want, first of all, to give you the secret of his deliverance. I want you to turn with me to chapter 15 and verse 16, and this will be the key to the entire life of Jeremiah. He found something. I found it. You found it. We have access to it. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because the secret of anybody's life that overcomes, you must find the Word, and it must become the joy and the rejoicing of your heart. Now turn to chapter 6, please. For, and I think we better stop at chapter 3 and verse 23 for just a moment. Truly, in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. That represents religion and the government. Truly, in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. Now then, turn with me, please, to chapter 6, and we're going to see if we're any different today. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16.
Thus saith the Lord. That's the way the prophet begins his message. Stand, ye in the ways, plural, and seek and ask for the old paths. Wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Now, we'll pause there for a moment. I want you to go to the book of Matthew, chapter 11. And this will be the context, and the message will be very brief. But Jesus is standing looking over a tired and weary religious world. Pharisees, Sadducees, Christ rejectors and haters, people that were religious, they went through their schedule and all sorts of religious activities. And this is what he said. Verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. Now Jesus is our rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You don't say that about the devil's yoke. I talked to a man a while ago, saturated with liquor. His eyes wouldn't focus. He was dirty. He smelled bad. I said, you look like an idiot. Talk like an idiot. Act like an idiot. He said, that's what liquor does for you. If we were to be so inclined, he'd face at least 10 to 20 years in the penitentiary because of his record. That's what liquor does for you. Listen, God knew what he was doing when he said, the way of the transgressor is hard. I think we need to renew our prayer life for the lighthouse in the city. We got too many of them running away down there. Now, fellas, I want you to hit them old prayer bones. And I want the rest of us to pray for them. I know they're a bunch of tough ones, but we need to help them. And we can help them. And we will help them. And I'm not going to confess or charge our people for being to blame that runaway defeated unless we've done our best for them. I believe that we ought to knock ourselves out to help these people that nobody's ever loved because they've been unlovely. The only person can love an unlovely person is a Christian. And we ought to be glad to do it. Especially when you see how they come out. And then they're helping somebody else. And you hear them sing and see them testify. And of course, the world is looking for our failures. Boy, they rejoice every time we fail with one. We're not going to fail with them if we'll trust God. And I want to call my people. We're preaching on getting back to the old paths tonight. You know what they are? Number one, reading the King James Version every day and going through it every year, one time at least. That's the old path right there. Wherein is the good way? There's not one good way. He said, stand ye in the ways. That's plural. And wherein is the good way? And then you read that Bible through. Number two, everybody needs to have a time of private prayer and devotion every day. I know you can pray without ceasing, that's good, and men ought to always pray not to faint, but I believe that this church and all of our people, seeing the crisis that we face and the burdens that we bear and the attacks of the devil, did it ever dawn on you that the devil don't have much to fight anymore? He's already got all the churches I read about. You think the devil would, why listen, he's got them locked, stock, and barrel. But suppose we believe the Bible, preach, get people born again. Why, the devil spend 24 hours a day here. Folks, we're going to have to renew our prayer life. I want to renew mine. The fact is, I wish I could go somewhere and stay 2 weeks with nothing but the Bible and prayer. I mean, just read and pray and soak my soul up in prayer. And yet the other burdens that press in and the many things that we face more than you have any idea about some of them cropped up today out of the most serious things I've ever faced in my life. But I believe the Lord's going to hear an answer. I tell you, you know, when I get to the place where I can't budge and I can't move and I have no answer and my faith seems to be locked, brother, I know Jesus is able to come do something about it. I'll promise you this. This time next Sunday, I will not face what I face tonight. I can't. There's no way on earth for me to go 7 days facing what I face tonight. There's no way. And brother, when it gets like that, and there's not one thing I can do about it except, Lord, have mercy and come on and help me. I mean, either rapturous or coming helpless, and He's going to do it this next week. Got to do it. Brother, I tell you, when the burdens get too heavy to bear, and when you can't carry them, then you're going to have to load yourself on Him. Stand you in the way and ask for the good way. Wherein is the good way? And walk therein. Now here's the sad thing. They said the greatest preacher of that generation was named Jeremiah. Isaiah and Jeremiah were the Siamese twins of the gospel trail in those days. I mean, they preached, they wept, they begged, they pleaded. He said, where's the good way? Walk therein. But they said, we will not walk therein. That's it. Did you wonder why he wept? Listen, he never changed his mind. He kept preaching. I want to give you one more thought about him. He finally came and said, Jeremiah, why can't you be like the ministerial alliance? Why don't you join us? Why don't you come on now? I mean, you're a troublemaker. I mean, you're just a rabble-rouser. Always a hollering and a hooping, and you never do line. You can't get along with anybody. Now, come on! No, he said, I'm going to tell it like God gave it. Because God called me. I told him first I couldn't preach. I'm just a little child. He said, don't tell me you're a little child. I'm sending something to work on your lips. And brother, when he carried him through the lip factory, he come out of there preaching. And you boys that are being called to preach, God didn't call you to preach without being able to make the preacher out of you. You can preach. Anytime God calls you to preach, He'll make a preacher out of you. If you'll saturate your soul, little old boys come up to me all the time, go around schools and said, Brother Wolof, write me a letter. God's called me to preach. What's your advice? I said, memorize the Bible and get after it. As far as I'm concerned, the main thing we need to live in, and I say this, people come to me all the time, and they say, Brother Wolof, I'm here to look the home over. I want to start one like it. I said, get your standards straight. Do you have the King James Version? Oh, yes. I said, do you have a television set? If you do, get rid of it. Don't try to build a home like this with a television set. It won't work. Do you take a newspaper? Burn it. Hang it. Get rid of it. Man, you get in work like this, it'll take 24 hours a day. Not in the call of time to the King James Version. Get in the Word of God. Stay with it. Folks, I say again, with that old unworthy hand lifted up, I'd have never made it to the last 8 years. And we wouldn't be standing on the shores of sweet deliverance. You'd say, but how do you know? It don't make a difference to me. You'd say, how do you know the judge is going to rule? I know how God's already ruled. God's already assured me these homes will never close again. He won't let them. And I told the judge in his office, I said, Judge, I found the cause worth living for and dying for. And brother, anything that you can't die for, you have no business living for. Jeremiah said, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old path, wherein's the good way. Walk therein. But they said, we will not walk therein. But wait a minute. They finally came to him and said, Jeremiah, if you don't go ahead and line up, and if you, we're living in the generation of get-alongism. Get along with everybody. I mean, just kind of pitch in. Say, it doesn't make a lot of difference. You know, people say it don't even much difference what church you belong to. It don't make any difference what you believe. That's the only thing that does matter. So finally they came and said, Jeremiah, we've had it with you. We're going to go tell the king on you.
you're against the king, see? I mean, you're subversive. I mean, you're sowing seeds of national discord. You're hurting our nation. That's what you're doing. And so they got a little conspiracy going. They said, throw him in the dungeon. Throw him in the dungeon. Put him in the dungeon. And brother, it wasn't like the old Nueces County Jail, as bad as that was. It wasn't like this new Nueces County Jail, as good as it may be. They threw him down in the dungeon in the dark. And he was down in the mud and the murk and the filth and the varmints. And it was a horrible place. And death was sure. I mean, there wasn't one ray of light so far as we know. And there he was down in the dungeon. And would you believe that somebody got down in there with him? Oh, yes. Somebody got down there and said, Jeremiah. He said, yes. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Jeremiah 33:3. You say, when did he get that body? It was in the dungeon. If he hadn't gotten in the dungeon, I probably wouldn't have gotten Jeremiah 33:3. Brother, he called on the Lord, and it wasn't very long till the command came and said, first Jeremiah, he's in the dungeon. Get him out. We run out of rope. He said, make some rope. They said, we don't have anything to make them out of. He said, yeah, just take some rags and old dirty clouts and whatever you can get. And boy, can you see them putting them together? Tying them together? Until they thought, well, this will be strong enough to pull him out. Can you imagine that day when those little homemade ropes went down? And he said, Jeremiah? He said, yes. He said, put these old clouts under your arm. And he put them under. And brother, they started pulling him up out. You know why? God was with him. And the Lord's going to be with us. And with you. Listen.